Father, we just ask right now, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord, through your word. Thank you so much for it. What a gift. Lord, we know in some countries, a whole church might have to share one copy of your word. Lord, we know in some countries, people walk many, many miles, Lord, in terrible conditions, through rain, through mud. Lord, just to be able to worship you, to find that place, to get to that place where they can hear your word. And Lord, thank you so much that you've blessed us so abundantly that, Lord, any of us can get a copy of it. And Lord, right now we ask that you'd speak to us through it. We know it's more like a phone than a book, Lord. It's our communication tool to you. And so speak to us. Whatever you have for us this morning, get me out of the way. And Lord, let us not hear it and let that be it, as you command us not to do that. But Lord, let us do what you do command, and let us hear it, receive it, and then do it and obey it. Help us, Lord. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we want to look at this question. Are you in covenant with him? Are you in covenant with him? Well, what is that? Some of us, how many kids know what covenant is? If you know what that is, raise your hand, kids. Okay. It's an agreement. A covenant's an agreement. Are you in an agreement with God? Do you have an agreement with God? There's different kinds of covenants. There's many different kinds of covenants in the Bible. Many, many covenants. But there's another kind of covenant. Allison and I entered into it in 1997. And we had both finished school at Auburn and both graduated in 95 and got back to Montgomery and were working different jobs but knew we wanted to get married. Knew we wanted to enter into that covenant together. The marriage relationship is a covenant. It's a marriage covenant. It's an agreement before God that you come together before him and he joins you together. And the two who were two no longer are two, but God joins them and they actually become one, God says. They actually become one flesh and they have a covenant. There's that marriage covenant with a couple and God in this covenant together. They commit to each other. Well, so we, in 1997, on June the 21st, at First Methodist Church here in Montgomery, with a Baptist pastor, Pastor Jay Wolf and Dr. Carl Stegall from the Methodist Church, together they married us. They helped us enter into that covenant together before God. And so, do you have a covenant relationship with your Maker, with God Almighty? It's very similar to a marriage relationship. Matter of fact, a marriage relationship is a reflection of God and His church. God tells us in His Word that Jesus Christ is the groom, the bridegroom, and that His church is His bride. The church is not a building, but it's all believers together, all people who have repented of their sins and put their faith in Jesus, and received His forgiveness and abundant life, eternal life, and that is His church. And so Jesus is the groom, the church. You and I, believers, are His bride. And there will be this marriage supper of the Lamb at the end of time. But what about you? Do you have that personal relationship with the Lord? Are you in covenant with God, with your Maker, with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh? Do you have that relationship? Look at Exodus chapter 24, and let's look at one of the covenants here in the Bible, in the Old Covenant. Let's look at Exodus chapter 24. Let's look at verses 1 through 18. And if you're new at this, there should be a Bible next to you. And that's the second book in the Bible. Genesis, Exodus. Look at chapter 24, verses 1 through 18. And God is establishing a covenant with His people. Moses is the man of God, and God is communicating with Moses, and Moses is the mediator, the one between God and the people of Israel. And just like today, Jesus Christ is the mediator between any of us, any person who wants to get to God or wants to have a relationship with God, wants to be in covenant with God. Jesus Christ is the mediator. He's the one who gets you there. Well, in Exodus 24, the covenant is established here. And in 24, it's ratified. And so the covenant is formally confirmed between Israel and God. And so let's look at it. Beginning in verse 1. Then he said to Moses, this is the Lord, then he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship at a distance, but Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, everything the Lord has said, we will do. Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, we will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey. Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commands I have written for their instruction. Then Moses set out with Joshua his aide, Then Moses set out with Joshua his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. What about you? Have you entered that covenant with the Lord? Are you in covenant with Him? Similar to a marriage, very similar to a marriage. Do you have that kind of relationship with the Lord? Like a marriage relationship? Well, you may already have that this morning. But the things that we can notice through this passage of Scripture and what they did to enter this covenant, the things we can notice here are actually a daily call. Following the Lord is a daily process. And God tells us, Jesus said, if anybody would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And so every day we need to go through many of the steps in this process of entering this covenant, even if we're already in a covenant, these will benefit us greatly. Some of us here today are not in that covenant yet. When you examine your life, you may say, you know what, if something happens to me today, if I die, I'm not 100% sure I'll be in heaven. I'm not sure what would happen. And God wants you to be sure of it. He writes these things to you. He tells us in 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. He wants us to know it. And so if you're here today and you're not sure that you're in this covenant relationship, listen up. And if you are in this covenant relationship, do it over and over and over again. What do we need to do? Look, first of all, we need to hear God's call. Hear God's call. We see that in the first two verses. Then he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship at a distance. But Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him. They heard God's call. Moses was in tune with God. Moses was focused on the Lord, and he was able to hear his voice. Moses would hear from God, and the people would hear, and he gathered them together, and they heeded the call of God. God said, come up. Come up and do these things. They heard God's call, and they responded, and they did it. What about you? Do you hear God's call? Do you hear God's call daily? Many times in the day. He's calling us many different times during the day. He's calling us at different moments, calling us for different things, for different reasons. Jesus said, he called us in Matthew when he said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's a call. You're reading in God's Word and you come across that and you read Jesus saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And you're weary and you're burdened and you're hearing God's call. It happens like that. That's just one example. But do you hear His call? If you say, well, I hardly ever hear it. How much are you in His Word? This is where you hear it. This is where you hear His call. This is where you hear what He's telling you to do. What He's trying to, the message He's trying to get across to you. This is the main way you hear His call. And if you stay like Moses, connected to Him, you're in this a lot. And you're in prayer a lot. And so you just know when He's calling, you hear His voice. You're in tune to it. And you've learned to hear it. You've learned to hear His call every day, throughout the day. And maybe you're here this morning as that person. You're not sure you're in that relationship yet. You're probably hearing His call this morning. His call is for you to come to Him. Come to Him and enter into that relationship. So hear God's call. And then next, commit to follow Him. Commit to follow Him. We see this in verse 3 and 4a. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, everything the Lord has said, we will do. Moses then wrote down everything the Lord said. So not only did they hear God's call, they obeyed Him and they went up, and then they committed to follow Him. They committed to follow Him. And so Moses told the people God's words. That was probably the Ten Commandments. Told them God's words and told them His laws. And that was probably all the stipulations of the covenant. And He shared that with them, and they responded with one voice. They heard God's call. They heard what God was saying, and then they had a choice to make. Once you hear God's call, and once you receive it, and once you get in the Word, and you know what God's telling you to do, and you know what He's saying about a certain situation, then you have a choice to make. Well, they decided to obey. They decided that everything the Lord has said, we will do. Have you decided that in your own heart? Before it comes, before God asks you to do something, before He tells you not to do something, or whatever. Have you already made that decision in your own heart? Have you already decided, everything the Lord tells me to do, I will do it? Have you gone before Him? Is that your heart before the Lord? God, whatever you say. And it's kind of scary because I'm covering it for the future. Whatever you say, God, I will do. I will obey you. Is that your heart before the Lord? That's being committed. That's committing to follow Him. That's what Jesus meant when He said, if anybody would come after me, he must deny himself. Jesus said also, if anybody wants to be my disciple, he must give up everything he has. It's the same type thing. It's in the heart. It's going before Jesus, going before God and saying, God, I give you everything. Everything is yours. And I will obey you no matter what. No matter what you say, no matter what you tell me next. I'm committed to obey you. I will do it, Lord. Is that your heart? Have you told Him that? Maybe you need to tell Him that. Maybe if you're that person here today, not sure if you're in that covenant relationship, maybe that's what you need to tell Him. As you're hearing His voice this morning, you need to say, okay, Lord, whatever you tell me today, I'll do it. I want to be yours. I want to follow you. And so commit to follow Him. So hear God's call. Commit to follow Him. And next, worship Him. Worship Him. We see this in 4b through 7. It says, he got up early the next morning. This is Moses. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And so first of all, he created the place of worship. He made a place to worship. He built an altar right there. He said, this is going to be a place of worship. Do you have a place of worship? Have you created a place of worship? Do you have a special place? Or is your worship just hit and miss? Now, there's different kinds of worship. There's your personal worship, just you one-on-one. You and the Lord. You and Jesus. There's that personal worship. There's congregational worship, which we're doing right now. And then there's worship in your daily life, just whatever you do, doing it for the Lord. When you do it for Him as a gift to Him, you're worshiping. But in that personal worship, have you found a place? Do you have a place for worship? Or is it hit or miss? Whenever you get a chance, you might read the Bible some. Who knows where you'll be? Sometimes it's good to have a time and a place and some regularity, a place. Sometimes it makes you more focused. You can just get right to that place and sometimes you can enter into that worship of the Lord a lot quicker when it's already a habit and you got a place and a time. You know where you don't have to spend all that time figuring out, well, where am I going to go? My place has changed from time to time, but there's a chair right now in our den that I look forward to getting to early in the morning before anybody gets up. And that's a place I've created for worship right now. It changes at different times. But do you have a place of worship? There was this place of worship. And then next, he gathers the people together. So he builds this altar. This is in verse 4, the second part of verse 4. Built the altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 5, Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. And so in verse 5, we see Moses gathering some people together for worship. Now that's what we're doing now. That's what we do Wednesday at prayer time. That's what we do tonight. 5 o'clock, that's what you do at 9 o'clock every Sunday with your Bible study group. You gather together with a group of believers and you worship together. And then it says that they made offerings. And so he gathered these men and And they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Well, we do that. We take up offerings too, don't we? It just happened. So we can come to the place of worship and we can pray ahead of time about, God, what's my offering to you going to be? What's my love gift? How am I going to express my love to you, Lord, through what I give? I want to make an offering to you, Lord. Lottie Moon is here. We're trying to reach that goal of $3,600. Lord, how will I, what kind of offering will I give you? Will I bring to you? And so they took up offerings, all within worshiping Him. So create a place of worship. And that's your personal worship. And then gather together. Gather people together for worship. They took up offerings. And then they heard the word of they heard the word from God. Notice that. After verse 5. And so they sacrificed young bulls and fellowship offerings to the Lord. And then verse 6. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." And so he read the word of God to them. And so we do that here when we worship. We read the word of God. We preach the word of God. You do it in your personal worship. That's how you worship the Lord personally. You get your Bible and you read and you hear the word of God. You hear what He's telling you. And so they heard the word of God. And then they committed to obey and follow Him. You know, we haven't really worshiped unless we're here and we hear from God and we meet with Him. And then we set out of here different, ready to obey, ready to do whatever He has said. That's His plan. He doesn't give us His word to study it and to know every fact about it. He gives us His word to apply it, to do it. That's why we have it. And so we've really worshiped when we finish here and then we leave and then we say in our hearts, "Lord, I'm committed to obey you and follow you. I will do everything you just told me in that worship service. I will do it." And we're really worshiping when we set out and do it. And then next, notice, be forgiven. Are you in this covenant with Him? Do it over and over again. Hear God's call. Commit to follow Him. Worship Him. And be forgiven. That's what we see in verse 8. Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." God tells us in His word, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. But you see, the blood was shed here, and the blood brings forgiveness. Now, it was all ultimately foreshadowing the only true blood, the blood of Jesus, that could truly bring forgiveness. And now we're in this new covenant age, and in Mark 14:24, the blood of the covenant is mentioned again, except it's from Jesus' mouth. And just like here, after they did all these things, it says that they saw the Lord and it says that they ate and drank with the Lord. Well, that's what was going on in the Lord's Supper. When Jesus came, there was a new covenant put into place. It was all about Him anyway. All this blood, this sacrificing of animals, it was all about Jesus who was coming. And in the new covenant, He is the Lamb that was sacrificed. He is the ultimate sacrifice. And He said that as He had that last supper with His disciples, they were entering that new covenant. And that was, you could look at it as the covenant meal with the new disciples. And He took that cup and He said, "This is the cup of my blood, the new covenant that will be shed for all." And so the blood of the covenant, it's the blood of Jesus that brings forgiveness. He has done everything necessary for your forgiveness. Your part is to repent, to admit your sinfulness, to turn from yourself and turn to Him. And say, "I turn to you in faith, Jesus. Thank you for what you did. You shed your blood. You paid for my sins with your blood. You're raised from the dead. Save me. Come into my life." And by that faith, the blood applies to you and you're forgiven. You're forgiven. And then next, when you know you're forgiven and you've repented, you've put your faith in Him, and His blood has purified you from all unrighteousness and cleansed you of your sin, then you see God. That's our final point. See God and fellowship with Him. That's what was going on in verses 9 through 18. I'm not going to read it all again, but after they worshiped like this, and they went up, they saw the Lord. They met with Him. They ate and drank. And you will see His glory. You will see Him. If you're in that covenant, if you've entered that covenant with Him, then over and over again we need to hear God's call always. Commit to follow Him. Worship Him personally and congregationally. Be forgiven. And keep on confessing. And be forgiven. And then see God and fellowship with Him. Well, let's pray together. Father, we do thank You for all that You've done for us. And Lord, we just ask that You would help us, Lord, to heed these things, Lord. We pray for anybody who needs to enter that relationship right now, Lord. We just ask that You would help them, Lord, to hear You calling them right now and help them to say, Lord, I'm coming to You. I give You my life. Save me from my sins. Come into my life. Lord, help us to continually live out of this covenant relationship with You, Lord. We love You and we praise You and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you prayed that in your heart, if that's your heart to the Lord, that you want to enter that relationship with Him today, that covenant relationship, and you're just not sure you've had it, as Chris leads us in this song, come and share that. Make that known. Come and share that with us. And then if you need to pray about maybe a point that you heard this morning, a certain thing that the Lord was speaking to you as He calls over and over. Maybe He's calling you to something. Deal with it. Do whatever the Lord tells you to do. Maybe you're supposed to join this church this morning. Maybe that's what He's telling you, the call that He has on your heart. You come as Chris leads us in this song.